Chapter 62, Isaiah chapter 62 this afternoon, and we're going to spend a little time in the looking at this chapter here this afternoon, and it's going to relate back to the message this morning, obviously, but Isaiah chapter 62 verse 1 says, "For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shalt thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies, and the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine for the which thou hast labored. But they that have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord, and they that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. Go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken." Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for this chapter. And Lord, help us to see it for what it is. And Lord, we just thank you for all that you've given. And Father, we pray you'd help us to see the parallels to our own salvation. Please help us to understand it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it is an amazing thing when you look in the Bible and you read the Old Testament, and once again, everything in the Old Testament was primarily written to Israel. And though it was not necessarily written to us, it is written for us. We're supposed to be able to learn. And reality that we have in this is God is speaking to Israel and about Jerusalem, and he's speaking about what's going to happen to it in the future and what his plans are. You know, we look so often at the judgments of God in the Old Testament and those to come in the book of Revelation, and we see the things that are going to happen during that time. And we rightly tremble, or we should, because it shows the severity of God. But sometimes we don't look at his goodness. And when God brings judgment, he has a purpose. When God brings judgment on a people, his goal is to get them to repent and see the error of their ways so that he can save them. And that's how he deals with nations, and that's how he deals with individuals as well. But the simple fact is, God also has a reason for judgment, and the reason is that so that one day he will weed out all that which is wrong so that we might enjoy the blessings of his holiness, of his righteousness. If you go to the book of Hebrews, if you want to go over there, Hebrews chapter 12, he's talking about God's chastening hand on the life of a believer. And when he talks about being chastening, he says, "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Spirit, unto the Father of spirits, and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." So when we talk about God's judgment and God's chastening, we look at that and we would say that God has a plan for it and a purpose for it, not just to punish the guilty, but to bring in what he wants to accomplish for us, to bring those blessings, to purge out the sin and the sorrow and the sickness and the pain. And so as we look at this, he says, "For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name which the mouth of the Lord shall name." So Jerusalem is going to get a new name. And he says, "Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shalt thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married." Now notice something when we look at that passage of Scripture. He's talking about a time that's coming when Israel is not going to be seen as it is now. Look at the way the world regards Israel. Look at the way the world regards Jerusalem, and look at what happens. And we see what happens to them. And in a large part of the world today, Israel is vilified. That's a reality. In the halls of our own government, there are some that are 100% anti-Israel, no matter what, you know. They are the source of all ills in the world. There are some people, I've heard people, they have this idea that all Jews are treacherous and deceitful, and they're stingy and they'll cheat you, you know. I've actually heard people say, "Well, they Jewed me out of this." Now, why do you think they say that? Because they have put forth which always goes well back beyond Hitler, but even in the modern, in the semi-modern era, Hitler himself portrayed Jews that way. And some people still believe that type of stuff. And they've done that. So Israel and Jerusalem has not had a good name for many, many years. And part of that is God's judgment on them. But when God judges, like I said, he has a purpose. And God has a purpose with Israel, does he not? And he tells us here, he tells us that Israel, that Jerusalem, Zion will have a new name, a name which the mouth of the Lord shall name. And he tells us about that new name. He says, "Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of thy God, of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married." Now God gives Jerusalem and that land two different names, Hephzibah and Beulah. And so when we look at that and we understand that, we know that there's going to be a different name, that God's going to name that place. And he's going to give it a different name, a different deal. And And people are going to see their righteousness. That which they cannot see now, they will see one day. They'll see that the love of God. They'll see the promises of God kept. And they'll see all of these things happen. But you know what? That is something that we as Christians are supposed to experience already. You know, we have a new name, don't we? We have a new name. We have a name, something we were called, and rightly so. But are not called anymore those who have truly trusted Christ as their Savior. Those who believe that Jesus paid the penalty for their sins. Those who believe that with all their heart and have trusted in Him. We were called sinners. But now we're called saints.
Amen.
We were called strangers. But now we're called children. Right? And if that isn't enough for you, you go over to the book of Revelation and you go to the letters of the churches. I'm trying to remember which church it is. But as you go over there to, let's see if I'll find what I'm looking for. The one I'm looking for, I think everybody remembers it, but let me find the exact one it is, where he says, let's see. Let's see where he talks about it. I will find it in just a moment. All right, in Revelation chapter 2, and he's writing to the church at Pergamos, and he says in verse 17, he says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a name, new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth." So we're going to get a new name too, each individually. A new name. So when it says there's a new name written down in glory, it doesn't necessarily mean John Sanders' name was written down in glory. It's my name, my new name. There has to be a change. Have you ever thought about that? A new name written down in glory? It's not you. It's do you have a name from God? Do you have a name change? It's like you must be born again. There's got to be a name change. And who is he that overcometh but he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ? But you see that God gives Jerusalem a name change, doesn't he? He said, you're not going to be called desolate. Your land is not going to be called forsaken. You're not going to be, or the other way around. He said, thou shalt be no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate. The world looks at Israel and they think, well, they're not the chosen of God. They don't. Right? And they wouldn't mind if the land was destroyed. And when there's coming a time, it's going to be. It's going to be tore up even worse than it has been in times past. But then he says this to them. He says, you'll have a new name. In verse 3 he says also, thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem, and the hand of thy God. Jerusalem will be like a crown of glory for God. People will see it and they will marvel at its beauty. They will marvel at the holiness. They will marvel at the righteousness. They will marvel at all of these things. And so it should be with us. People should look at us and say, wow, they really believe that Bible. Wow, they really love their enemies. Wow, they really will do right no matter what. Wow, they really are honest. Wow, they really are faithful. Wow, they really are merciful. Wow, they really do forgive. They should see the righteousness of God in us. And then, if you, it's kind of an interesting thing. He calls, he says, in Jerusalem, he said, thou shalt be as a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, as a royal diadem. A diadem is a crown crusted in jewels and different things like that. And but you know, God says something about us. He says this, if you go over to the book of Malachi, last book in the Old Testament, Matthew, go back to Malachi. Alright. In the book of Malachi, toward the end of the Old Testament, and in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord, in the day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. You know, God says that those that think upon the Lord, those that fear the Lord and think upon his name, those that take the time, that they're going to be like jewels. Now, who is it that's supposed to be in this modern era or in any era that is supposed to be the people that fear the Lord and think upon his name? That's us, isn't it? And so you see the parallel there with Jerusalem and us. And so when we get there, when we look at all of these things that we look at here in this passage of Scripture, what he's saying about Israel is what we ought to become. That's the progression. That's why we were redeemed. That's why God showed us mercy. We have a new name that God himself named. I don't need some church to call me a saint. I am a saint by decree of God. Because the blood of Jesus washes away my sins. It's out of the mouth of the Lord. And I am his special child. I'm a jewel. Those that fear the Lord and that think upon his name. He said, it'll be mine and I'll spare them. So there's a working. You know, the Bible says in the book of Psalms, I believe it's Psalm 10, he said, the wicked, because of the pride of his countenance, doth not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Is God in your thoughts? Do you think upon him? You know, most of the people that want to trot out what would Jesus do, they don't really care what Jesus would do. I'm just being honest with you. It's a nice catchphrase. But, you know, there are a lot of things that Jesus did that you can't do. But you can do what Jesus told you to do. Right? So when we look at all of that, we can talk about it all we want to, but the bottom line is, do you fear the Lord? Do you think upon his name? Do you look at the Word of God? Are you that... God's idea is for you to be a jewel. He's giving you a new name. You have a new name coming that you don't even know yet. But you've been changed from lost to saved, to from sinner to saint. You've been passed from death unto life if you're a child of God. You're no longer a stranger. You're fellow citizens with the saints of God and of the household of God. You're there. We're no longer strangers in that regard. So we see that, what God's going to do with Jerusalem and with Israel. And he does that. And he gives them two names. He gives them the name Hephzibah and the land Beulah. Now, we sang the song, Dwelling in Beulah Land. And the picture of that song is based upon this passage of Scripture. This is the only place where that land, Beulah, is used. Some of you may have heard of a place called Hephzibah House. It was a place for young ladies and to try to help them. And there are several places like that throughout the place. But here's the question. What do those two words mean? What does Hephzibah mean? What does Beulah mean? I mean, if you read that, and you read that for the time that you want to read that, and you want to understand, then you need to understand what Hephzibah means. What does Beulah mean, right? Now, some of the hint of that, of what it means, is, and the reason why it's done, is in the text right there. But if you read that, I would hope you would want to know what they mean. Do you want to know what they mean? I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to leave it for you to go study and find out what Hephzibah and Beulah mean. And then what I'd like you to do is relate that to your life. Look at that not just from the idea of prophecy, but look at the parallel between Israel and the redemption of the nation of Israel and the land of Israel to the redemption of the believer, to your redemption. Look at what it means, and what should that mean for you? What should that mean? And we'll revisit this later, but I want you to take that as a challenge. What does Hephzibah mean? What does Beulah mean? You know, Beulah land, I'm longing for you, and on thee someday I'll stand. We're talking about heaven, right? But that's not talking about heaven. It has a meaning. So what does Beulah mean? What does Hephzibah mean? So that's something to think about. So I'm going to leave you with that challenge to figure out what they mean and learn something, and then we'll deal with it. But notice what he says about them. And he says, for as a young man marrieth a virgin, verse 5, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. In other words, all of the sons of Israel will want to be there. A lot of those who are Jews don't want to be in Israel. It's going to come a day where they'll want to be there. They'll want to be there. It will be the place to be. It will be the best place on earth. It won't be just the Jews that want to be there. It'll be the Gentiles as well. And he said, and so shall thy God rejoice over thee. Would you want God to rejoice over you? And the greatest thing that we can do is allow God to do the work in us that He's going to do. He's promised Israel. He said, I am going to change these things in you. I'm going to make you no longer desolate, no longer forsaken. I am going to make you to be admired. I am going to make you to be rejoiced over. People are going to see your righteousness and they are going to glorify me. And that is the way it should be with us too. The world should see our righteousness as His righteousness. And the time will come when what did he say? He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. That God is glorified and glories over us. And he says... And then he says in verse 6, he says, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. You know what he's saying? Ye that do that, he said, you watchmen, you people that are watching, he said, don't be silent. Keep on praying. Keep on seeking God. Keep on doing that. Don't give up. till he established, until they make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Keep it up until he does that. And here's the thing. We have a responsibility too, don't we? All right, we're supposed to pray without ceasing. Right? We're not to keep silence. We're to pray for our nation. We're to pray for lost sinners. Right? You know, we like to sing that song, "Brethren, We Have Met to Worship," right? And he says, let us love our God supremely. Let us love each other too. Let us love and pray for sinners until our God makes all things new. That's what he's saying here about you that are there wanting the redemption of Jerusalem, wanting the redemption of Israel. You just keep praying. You keep praying. You don't quit. You be a watchman on the walls. You don't quit. You don't keep silence. And he says, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. That's the way it's supposed to be. Now, how is God going to do that? He has to redeem them. And that follows with us. We ought to be praying for the redemption of men, redemption of our loved ones, redemption of strangers, redemption of the people in the town, in the state, in the nation, in the world. We ought to be praying for folks to get saved. We ought to be earnestly praying for it, praying for the will of God to be done. Yet God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, right? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy what? Will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Right? God's will. So we're to be praying for his will, not just flapping our jaws and repeating something over and over again, but we're to be earnestly praying and desiring for souls to be saved. Are we doing that? We're not to keep silence. Our goal is to see the redemption of God. Our goal is to see the redemption of sinners. That's what we're supposed to do. Our goal is to see others get what we've experienced. And that we would conduct ourselves in such a way that there'd be no doubt who we belong to and who we serve. And you know, this goes into being free again. Jerusalem now is in bondage. One day they'll be free. We were in bondage. Well, we're supposed to be free. And then we can do this, and he says, why? He says, because the Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies, and the sons of the strangers shall not drink thy wine for the which thou hast labored. But they that have planted, but they that have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord, and they that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. Go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. That's his right hand. That's Jesus. He's coming. One day every eye shall see him, even they that pierced him, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son. They're going to see and they're going to understand who he is. They're going to see it. And here we are. This is a picture of us as well. And it says, they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and they shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. There's a whole change that's coming for Israel. There's a whole change that's coming for Jerusalem. There's a change that God's going to do. God's going to keep his promises. He's sworn. And God's sworn by himself concerning us too, hasn't he? God made promises. And he said, by myself have I sworn. that in thee and all in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed in thy seed. Seed being Christ. And this is what we're supposed to be. There's the parallel. What Israel will experience on a national scale, they will have to first experience on an individual scale. But we say we've already experienced that. And so then you have those words, those new names of Hephzibah and Beulah. It kind of reminds me of the Apostle Paul when it talks about the Christian, their Christian walk and the things that had happened when he was talking to the people of the church at Galatia. He's talking to them, and after he's dealing with them about their errors of the way they were thinking, he asked them the question, where then is the blessedness you spake of? When you first got saved, you were all happy and rejoicing in the Lord. Now, where's that blessedness? He said, man, he said, I had an infirmity in my flesh. And he said, if it had been possible, you'd have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. That's how much you wanted to serve the Lord. What we're talking about here is Jerusalem's freedom. Jerusalem being set at liberty. Jerusalem being free to serve the Lord. And that's the way we're supposed to be. This shows us a picture of what is supposed to happen to us spiritually from the inside out. And I just want to challenge you with that. Can you look at your life and say, Hephzibah? Can you look at your life and heart and say, Beulah? Dwelling in the Spirit, here I learn of full salvation. Gladly will I tarry in Beulah land. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll close out. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you've given us. Lord, I just pray you'd help us to see. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand. And if we look at this, see what you want to do in us and rejoice in your goodness of what you want to do and how you want to change us. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us to just get on board with that, to just believe it, that you've made the promise. Help us to believe it, we pray, and act upon it to the very best of our ability. Father, we thank you for your love and your kindness and your mercy. We thank you for all that you've given us in Christ. And Lord, we also pray again for those who could not be here today. And we just pray you'd bless them. Now, Father, as we prepare to close the service and go our way, we just ask that you give us safe travels and bring us back safely on Wednesday night. And Lord, we also want to pray for the jail ministry and the things that are going to go on tonight. We just ask that you would help us to do the right thing there and preach faithfully and teach faithfully. And Lord, we just pray for the salvation of souls. Lord, if there's one that's lost today that doesn't know for sure if they died today, they'd go to heaven. Help them see that Jesus paid the penalty for their sins and that their only hope is to put their faith and trust in Him. So Lord, help us to understand the Word of God. Help us to be exactly what you've called us and what you've named us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.